You know, I read this story a few months ago, and I really have longed for an opportunity to tell it. You know, Tim Kazee's writings always grip me. If you read the Frontline Missions magazines, you know what I mean by that. But at this particular time when I was reading this account, it just really gripped my soul. It occurred to me that there are believers all across our world that are watering their prayers with tears, crying out to God, morning, noon, and night, weeping. Doubtless some for joy and gladness, but for many, I think, tears of pain, tears of sorrow, tears of loss and anguish, tears of desperate longing and need. Tonight, as we sit here together in the comfort of this wonderful facility, there are people, believers, all across this world that are watering their pillow and their prayers with tears. It wasn't but a few weeks later that the Lord drew my attention to another passage in Scripture. One morning as I met with God and opened my Bible, I was directed to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where Paul says this to young Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Those words, thy tears, just gripped me again. As I contemplated and questioned what must have been going on in Timothy's life as a young pastor that brought him to the point of shedding tears. And not just any tears, any tears that he shed, but those tears had to be so obvious, that they so significant, that the Apostle Paul heard of those tears all the way from Asia Minor to his Roman prison cell. This wasn't just a bad day with an upset church member. This must have been a deep and ongoing burden. And we know that from the rest of 2 Timothy. Some heartbreaking problems that resulted in overwhelming ministry pressure. Well, just a few weeks ago, Pastor Ken let me know that I was scheduled to preach tonight and for the next two Sunday nights, and asked if I would consider doing something on the life of David, in keeping with kind of the theme the last several months on Sunday night of Old Testament characters. And so I eagerly went about to prepare and put something together, actually on Psalm 63, one of my favorite psalms. But God would just not give me peace to preach from Psalm 63, at least tonight. But I had no other leading. And a number of weeks went by, and it came to the point last week, actually, that I mentioned to Pastor Greg down in the office that we share that I was dry as dust. I did not know what God wanted me to do, and I was really burdened about this, and I asked him to pray for me. I just wanted desperately to have God's mind and God's leading, and I was just really stumped. And so Pastor Greg no sooner walked out of the office, and I turned around to my computer monitor, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go back to 2 Timothy again. And I opened my Bible there and began reading in chapter 1, and I again came across those words, thy tears. And this time, it was as if God said, look that up. Do some study and find out what I have to say about tears. And so I opened up my Power Bible computer program and plugged in the word tears, and up came 36 passages of Scripture that had the word tears in the verse. And then I looked up the words cry, cried, weep, and wept. And up comes another 474 more passages. And I was really overwhelmed at that point. And I thought, oh, I have never considered the magnitude of this subject in Scripture. And so God began to direct my attention as I reviewed these verses. God began to direct my attention to a few of these passages as I decided to narrow my focus to the tears shed in the life of David and what God revealed to David about himself through those tears. And I soon found out that David himself was no stranger to tears. And I also found out that through those tears, David discovered that for God, our tears are treasured tears. Let's pause and pray tonight. Father, as we open thy word tonight, we ask for instruction from your Spirit. Father, you sent him to be he that which would come alongside and lead us and guide us into all truth. And so we ask for that ministry tonight. Move and work. Renew our minds. Illumine our hearts. Give us understanding. And Father, we pray that you would really overwhelm us with the truth that our tears are our treasured tears. And we thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. In Psalm 6, verse 6, David said, I am weary with my groaning. All the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Even David, the mighty warrior, the man after God's own heart, had in his life many times of intense trouble that brought him to tears. Remember the story in 1 Samuel 30, we read about the Amalekites invading the southern borders of the land and attacking the city of Ziklag. They carried away all of the wives and the children of the men as the men were out in another battle, and they burned the city to the ground. Can you visualize the horror of that picture? And then we read in verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the men that were with him, remember folks, mighty men of valor, warriors, the roughest, the toughest, most courageous men on the planet. David and the men that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David and his men certainly knew what it meant to weep tears for the deepest kinds of loss. Their own wives and children. Then there was a time when Jonathan, remember, Saul's son, David's dearest friend on earth, was forced to meet David secretly in the forest to warn David that Saul was going to take his life and that David needed to flee the kingdom. Realizing that this would fracture their friendship and probably separate them for life, which it, for all practical purposes, did. The Scripture vividly describes their parting moments. 1 Samuel 20, verse 41 says, and as soon as the lad was gone, he was a messenger, as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground. And he bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another. but David all the more. Tears for the loss of the dearest friend on earth. And then who could forget the story of David and Bathsheba? The lust, the adultery, the murder, the child. We might well remember the tears of repentance as evidenced in Psalm 51, but do we remember the tears of grieving? Because of David's repentance, God spared his life. But listen to the words of Nathan the prophet in response to David's confession. 2 Samuel 12, verse 13 says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And we know the child did die. And David did weep. Now, we don't know when in all of that David penned the words of Psalm 56. But look particularly at Psalm 56, verse 8. David hears, as he has on many occasions, is crying out to the Lord. And David says, "You number my wanderings. God, you've counted them. You know each one. You've numbered my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Put my tears into your bottle," is David's cry. What is this bottle? Well, the custom of putting tears into tear bottles, or what were formerly known as lacrimal urns, was well known during the Roman times, but it was actually more anciently used among the Hebrews. These urns or bottles were of different materials, some glass, some earth, as you might expect, different sizes and shapes. And after they were representatively filled with tears from a sorrowing individual, they would be placed on the graves of a deceased parting loved one as a memorial of the distress and the affection of these surviving relatives and friends. So I think the meaning of this expression, "put my tears into your bottle," is basically this. Let my distress and the tears I have shed as a result of that distress be ever before you, Lord. May they stir your heart's remembrance of me, and may they plead with you to grant me the relief that I need so desperately. In other words, may they never leave your mind, Lord, and may they cause you to come to my aid and grant me relief. He says there, are they not in your book? He says, Lord, carefully treasure them up in your memory. Let them not ever be forgotten. And I think here's the simple but incredibly profound point. God remembers. Yea, God treasures our tears. My tears, your tears, whether they be tears of repentance over sin, tears of joy and gladness over triumph, or tears of sorrow and affliction. All the tears you shed for that husband or wife no longer at your side tonight. All the tears, mom and dad, that you've shed for your precious son or daughter no longer in the bedroom down the hall. Or perhaps tears for your own mom and dad for whom you yearn just one more conversation. Maybe it's tears of regret over wasted years or the scars of sin. Maybe it's tears of lost opportunity because of neglect and indifference. Perhaps for you tonight, it's tears of pain and sorrow and deep disappointment over life's unexpected twists and turns with your health, your finances, or some relationship. Maybe it's tears of unfulfilled dreams or the unmet expectations of youth. Listen. Whatever the cause of your tears, whatever be the source of your sorrow tonight, God knows. And not only does he know, listen, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears." Not only does God know about our tears, he sees them. And he stores them up and he treasures them in his bottle. Remember what David said about tears in Psalm 126:5? They that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. Just think about it. God says that what is sown, a tear, will come up a pearl of joy. There's been numbers of times in my life and the life of my wife and I that we've shed many tears. One of them I remember was before I met my wife. It was the first few days that I came to know Christ, the first few days that I was saved. God had been working in my life and as the hounds of heaven was getting me treed in repentance over my wicked lifestyle and my sin. That took place from the fall of 1975 through the summer of 1976. And to make a long story short, to which my wife says amen, in August of 1976, 35 years ago this month, I heard the gospel. And by the grace of God, I received it. That was in a little tiny town in Michigan, about an hour outside of Grand Rapids. One stoplight, one grocery store, one bar on the corner, one gas station. The very next morning, we drove to Grand Rapids, and I bought this Bible, which I've cherished ever since. But for the next few days, I was overcome and I sobbed hour after hour for days. Tears of incredible joy, relief, redemption. Repentance. But I'll also never forget another time of great tears, this time with my dear wife. Tears of grief, sadness, and sorrow. It was otherwise a very exciting time. In the spring of 1985, my wife was graduating from law school. I had graduated in 1983 and came up to work with my father-in-law, and my wife stayed in Indiana, and for 2 years, one of us traveled on the weekends so that we could be together on the weekends. We sacrificed because I personally and her parents, of course, felt extremely strongly about education and the need for her to finish and to have that accomplishment. And so it came time for graduation, and it was a very exciting time. But for us, it was even more exciting. Forgive me. What would a message on tears be without a few tears, right? For us, it was even more exciting because as she walked across that stage to get her law degree, she wasn't alone. She was carrying our first child. Little did we know that within a month or so, the Lord would see fit to take that child home. And I'll never forget it. The incredible, I mean, we're out in this cold, stark hallway in the hospital, and she's laying on a gurney, and I'm with her, and we're just all alone. And we're sobbing. We had so looked forward to this child. For 5 years, we had waited. But in the midst of those incredible tears of sorrow and grief and loss, we had the most incredible joy. You cannot describe it. It's unspeakable. It passes all human understanding. And those of you that have experienced, you know whereof I speak. God says, weeping may endure for a night. And it very well may be many nights during this earthly journey. Amen? But my friend, joy comes in the morning. And if not sooner, surely in the everlasting morning of eternity. Isaiah 25, verse 8 says, He, the Lord, will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Listen. There is coming a day when God's patience and long-suffering toward a world of sinners will be filled to the brim. Mercy will be over, and the treasured bottles of the tears of his saints will become the vials of his wrath. He'll break them with a rod of iron, and out will flow the fury of final judgment on this sorry and sinful world. And Satan, sin, death, and hell itself will be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:4 says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And so Jeremiah 31:16 should ring in our hearts tonight. Refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. Beloved, God treasures our tears. They are in his bottle, and they are written in his book. And all God's people said,